our Bibles to Revelation chapter 7. And last week, as we went through Revelation 6, we had a brief snapshot of the entire tribulation. And what a time that will be. What a tribulation is exactly what it is. There's going to be things that come to pass that this world has never seen, and it is preparing for it. God in His great grace has given us types and shadows and signs and reminders over and over and over. I'm coming soon. Be ready. Hallelujah. But as well, we saw, mainly, again, in those Jews that were under the altar, those that would be saved during the tribulation, that would not, as they said, they refused to receive the mark of the beast. And it was sweet because of that encouragement of the Lord that came in such a dark time. They received Christ, and they wouldn't receive the mark of the beast, and they were killed for it. And in recapping, we saw that this was the last rank. This was the fourth rank of the believers, the church of Thyatira. These would be the ones that would someday reign upon the earth throughout the millennium. And praise the Lord, as we saw that they sang the song of Moses. We rejoice, we think of the things that are going on in Israel today and have for many years, but God. And what a day it's going to be, and what a time that will be. I was thinking about sweet Art and Leona, his brother and her brother-in-law. They're over there, and you know, they minister the truth. And so sweet to give out the word of God. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not just going to be a few. They're going to be the ones that will be evangelizing and preaching that word to every nation. And thanks be to God. And what a time it will be, and how, and what a joy it'll be to the Father, too. Again, that unfaithful wife that'll be returned to Him. And you think about the passion of the Father, and then what we're in right now is the passion of the Son for His wife. So praise His name, and we thank Him richly that we're awake to it. But now we're going on to chapter 7, and tonight John is going to see another scene. We're going to go back in time now, back to the beginning of the tribulation, and John is going to have a scene given to him on the earth. And again, I'm just speaking of the first eight verses. That's what we're going to cover tonight by the grace of God. But in these first eight verses, there's a scene on the earth. The tribulation has begun, just as started. And tonight, we're going to be introduced to the last company of believers that will be part of the church. Now, these will be the third rank believers. But there are three companies that we see translated into heaven during, well, one right before the tribulation as it begins is obviously that part of the church that will be the bride. Then, as we'll see in the second half of chapter 7 of Revelation, we have the majority of the saints that will be part of the church, and that is the innumerable multitude. And then finally, we will see, which we're going to begin to talk about them tonight, are the 144,000, which will make up the last company that will be part of the church. And remember again, last week's under the altar group, the fourth rank of believers, they will not be part of the church. They will have a precious part in the plan of God. But those will be the ones that will go into the millennium as earth dwellers, as earth reigning ones throughout the millennium for that 1,000-year period of time. All right. And if there's questions on that, I'm happy to address any. But I'm believing tonight that this will kind of be very made clear if there are any other questions that might be on it. And we're going to trust God. So let's go ahead and read the first seven verses, our first eight verses of chapter 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And really notice that until we have. And there's that jointly reigning encouragement that we will get into by the grace of God in some detail tonight. But it's wonderful. Listen to him speak to you right now of what he wants you to take. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. So, we begin here in verse 1. After John is given this brief vision of the entire tribulation, and now he is taken back to this scene early in the tribulation, just as it begins. And at the beginning of this tribulation time that John is seeing again of chapter 7, we see four angels holding back the four winds that desire to blow upon the earth, the sea, and all the trees. And by the grace of God, let's explain these things that John, praise God, is seeing. Well, first of all, and we'll take this in that precious order here. First of all, these four angels, what they represent, and so sweetly we'll get into how these things come to pass here. But these four angels, they are the four living ones, the bride of Christ. Just as, brothers and sisters, right now, the bride, as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, is hindering, or it's causing, it's preventing the tribulation from even taking place at this time. The Lord will not allow the tribulation to take place until he gathers that rib company to himself, until he has his bride. And in that precious place in Thessalonians, it says that, again, until he who hinders is taken out of the way, these things will not come forth, again, because of the love and the grace of Jesus to her. But when she is with him, and when she begins to jointly rule and reign with him, her place, praise God, will be right here as these four angels holding back that complete ferocity, you think of the enemy that is going to be appointed at a later time in the tribulation. And it is, it's so sweet as we look into this and praise the Lord for it. Now, these winds are representative of the nations of the four empires that Daniel had seen. The Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire. So these are the nations that had made up of those empires. And all these nations, brothers and sisters, are going to rise up. They're going to rise up against the earth. The earth is the Jew, and the Gentile is the sea, and especially the trees, the believers, praise God, at this time of the tribulation. So what a picture what we get here, and what encouragement to the Lord, again, what we mean to him, and the love that he has for us, and what he wants us to take with him. Now, the reason the Bible so wonderfully holds this back is for the completion of the church. The completion of the church is going to be this last company, this 144,000 these sealed Jews, they will be the final company, brothers and sisters, that will arrive in heaven. And again, as we read, there'll be 12,000 out of every tribe of Israel. Now, in verse 2, think of the angel, as it says here, that has the seal of God, which represents the approval of God, and it says, ascending from the east. Well, praise be to God, we know who this angel is. It's Jesus. And Jesus, praise the Lord, has the approval of God. He's the only one that has. It's all in Jesus. Any approval that we have is because of the life of Christ in us. Praise God that it's fully there, and we're thankful to him. But the east, the reason it speaks of the east is in Matthew 2. Remember the wise men? They saw the star in the east. So again, this gives us sufficient witness of who this angel is that, again, is going to direct the four. And then he tells the four, we are going to do these things. Isn't that sweet? We're going to do these things. This is the company that was spoken of in Romans 8, that he said, if you'll suffer together with me, you'll reign together with me. It'll be a jointly, praise God, time. And this is what the Lord wants. Why would he encourage us so many different ways in so many different times? I just love that. As he says there in verse 3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. It's just so precious. I'm grateful to him of what he has for us, what he sees in himself for us to take as we would grow up into him in all things. Praise be to God. Now, I want you to look at this as well, too, is that isn't it wonderful as we see Jesus here? We've seen him as a lamb at the first, amen? We've seen him, praise God, as God with feet of brass. And here we see him, an angel. So wonderful. All these different types you think about. I mean, he's shield, buckler, high tower, mighty God, King of kings, Lord of lords. He's all these things, praise God, because he's all in all. But let's talk a little bit about his wife. You know what? She comes here at the beginning of, she's introduced, as the Philadelphia company. And then, praise God, and the Smyrna, Philadelphia and Smyrna. And then we see her as four beasts. And then we see her here as angels. And you're going to read a lot about the four beasts and those angels back and forth all the time, as opposed to what John is seeing and, again, what's being revealed at these times. And then, finally, that bride, she's going to be the bride adorned, descending from heaven, having the glory of God, the New Jerusalem. So I'm just going to say this. She's a lot like him, isn't she? Isn't that wonderful how that is? See, those 24 elders pretty much are 24 elders all the way through. The innumerable multitude, they're going to be the innumerable multitude all the way through. Now this, as we get in here and we start talking a little bit about the 144,000, we're also going to see that that group's called the man-child as well, too. So we'll go back and forth with that. But let that encourage you. You know, like a lot of folks, you know, sometimes look at this and say, well, why is it all of these things? Well, why is Jesus called all these things? Because of the glory of God. And praise the Lord, as she's received that glory, praise God, there's so many manifestations of what the Lord gives in vision to John and these different ones of this precious Lamb's wife. Because she is like him. Yeah, I just find that such an encouragement to my heart. Now notice, and notice this for our own lives as well too. It's the four winds that are having to be held back. Amen? You notice that there? See, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four quarters of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any of the trees. So that wind, again, those four winds, that basically represents all of those nations that represented all of those empires throughout our history that will be descending in such hate upon the world. They're going to destroy things at a rate of destruction and an amount of destruction that has never happened before. So it's these winds, right? But the Lord Jesus Christ says to the four angels, the bride of Christ, that company, he says, you hold that back. You hold that back. Don't Don't allow that to come forth. But notice how he says, it's not the winds that will direct their hurt. The winds have no power but of God. The winds have no power but of the Lord and his wife. Think about how this says this. This is mighty stuff. Again, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. This is Jesus. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, the bride, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. How precious. But what I'm saying in this regard is this is the judgment that's coming forth. But as the Lord says, he says to them, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. It's just like now. You have Satan, who is the prince and the power of this air. Amen? Amen. Well, let me tell you something. Satan is completely hopeless and helpless in anything unless God allows him to do whatever he's going to do. And that's the truth. He showed us that with Job, didn't he, so sweetly? He had to tap the idiot on the shoulder, and I refer to him as under the mighty hand of God. Because in my Lord, that Satan has no power. If I try to fight him in myself, I'm done. But in Jesus Christ, praise God, he has no power. Hallelujah. I love it. Know that. And how wonderful it was. He had to say, hey, Satan, you're the prince and the powers of this world, this air, because I've set it up that way. Because I'm going to be glorified and I'm going to be magnified in my vessels of grace and mercy. Have you noticed my servant Job? No, you haven't noticed him because I've hid him. Amen? So now I'm going to actually tell you what to look at. I'm going to lift the head so you can see it. And then I'm going to allow you to do anything and everything, but you're not going to take his life. And by the way, I already know what you're going to do. Amen? Amen. Come on. That is your life with God. That's my life with God. And praise God, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever is doing the same thing in type right here. But there's a difference. He has his wife. And they're jointly doing this together. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Those that believe, this will be done unto you. Praise the Lord. So I thank God. Maybe we missed a lot of things in this life. Maybe we didn't achieve much. But I'll tell you what. Corruptible crowns are exactly what they are. This is the only one. And praise God, it's forever. And know it. Hallelujah. And it's right around the corner, praise his name. So we thank him for this. Now, so here we go again in noticing that it's not the winds that are directing and deciding when they're going to hurt the earth. It's the Lamb's wife with him that's going to say, okay, you can do this now. It's Christ through his bride that's going to allow that. The angel to the four angels in perfect harmony with him directing all the events of the ages to come. Take that as an encouragement to our life right now. In order for us to take that place in perfect harmony, directing, we need to take the place of in perfect harmony with him right now. Amen. In receiving that wonderful grace and the word of his grace. And that's what he wants us to continue in and to encourage on in and fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And truly walking boldly through it and believing him in all things. We are in these weakened vessels right now. We are in this flesh that fails so quickly, ready to doubt, not believe very quickly. But God, to always be encouraged, to be that full overcomer. I've heard it many times. If there wasn't things to overcome, and the greatest thing often to overcome is yourself. Again, I'll say that. The greatest thing to overcome is yourself and myself for my life and your life. We wouldn't be a full overcomer. Praise God. Amen. So, as Brother James said, count it all joy when you're in manifold temptation. He wasn't crazy, but in Jesus. All right. So we thank him for this. And this is ours, and this is real to us. And Lord, make it real. Praise his name. So they will direct in perfect harmony the events of the ages to come. And I would love to say by the grace of God, we will. Hallelujah. As that company that will be his wife. Now, the great wrath of Satan, it speaks of that in 12:12, will be delayed upon the earth, the sea, and the trees. The innumerable multitude will be spared the great wrath because they're going to be raptured somewhere. Oh, let's say, we don't know exactly, but maybe 18 months in, 24 months in, somewhere in there into the tribulation. And then a short time later, the 144,000 is then going to be raptured up, and the devil and that beast are going to go forth knowing they only have a short time. So let's go on over, because we'll be jumping over to Revelation 12 quite a bit tonight, and I think we have a little bit of time. So let's read that 12th verse. It says in that 12th verse of the 12th chapter of Revelation, it says, "Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time." See, that's not even going to happen till we get in to almost, truly, right at the midpoint of the tribulation, as we enter into the great tribulation time. See, he's going to begin to be able to come forth and things, but that fullness of the roaring lion is not going to happen. And we'll read a little bit more. The event that happens that we know when that devil is going to be completely cast out of heaven. He's going to be cast out. You know, right now he's there, as it says, in a sense, trying to just speak blasphemous things and all of these things against the children of God and all of that. Night and day, just there being ugly, his old ugly self. But that's going to be something that's going to end. It's going to completely be dealt with at this time. And obviously all under the purpose and the plan of God. And we'll get into that a little bit more in detail here in a minute. But we know that the innumerable multitude will be spared this great wrath. Obviously the bride's going to be spared any of this wrath because she's going to go up at the beginning of the tribulation. And I'm telling you, the way things are looking right now, it could be tonight. Praise God! That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing, especially if you're abiding in Paul's gospel. And it's still a wonderful thing. It is. Even after that would be, praise God, even those of the innumerable multitude. Yes, a tear is going to have to be wiped from their eyes. But thanks be to God, it wouldn't be that much longer for some to be with the Lord. But oh, what an ache to know what you missed. This excitement of taking the place that Jesus has for us, to be doing these things with him jointly and for him, do him. But again, in his love to us, that he will not do any of this until he has his wife. Isn't it awesome? And those that truly, and you know what I'm speaking of, those that have spouses and again, that have had spouses that you've loved so much and God has graced you with. It's not the same when you go do or see something by yourself. There's not a fullness of that joy. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is not going to miss one fullness of joy because he is full joy. And this is plan. This is part of the plan of the full joy. And he is not going to partake in any of that until she is with him. And I thank the Lord. What a romance and what a love. And what a God and what a plan. Hallelujah. It's amazing. So, now this 144,000. Again, is seen here in chapter 12. So we'll just sit here for a second in the 12th chapter. And let's go ahead and read the first and second verse of the 12th chapter. And this will all come together that we will see that the 144,000 is also known as this man-child. And these are different. Again, John's going to have different scenes and different vision of these things. We're even going to go back to Isaiah here in a minute and how Isaiah the prophet, he wrote of this man-child. He saw these events coming to pass. Now, he didn't know what they all meant, but praise the Lord, they were being brought forth by the prophet, by the word of God. So, in verse 1 of chapter 12, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. So what we see here is this great wonder in heaven is a woman. And notice in heaven. So we see this type that John sees is the church. The woman, praise God, we're going to see here is the church. How do we know that she represents the church? Well, first of all, she's clothed with, if you notice here, the glory of the sun. The glory of the sun represents the bridal saints. They're the ones with the sun glory. They're like him. Notice what is under her feet. What is under her feet? The moon, right? Well, that's the innumerable multitude. That's the type of they are a reflection. It's not the sun glory, but it's a reflection of the Lord. It's a beautiful, let me tell you something. Have you seen the moon lately and how gorgeous it's been and how big it is and how amazing? But the moon needs the sun to be seen. It's a reflection of, you see? But whereas that sun glory, that bride, it's still him. It's always him. But instead of being a reflection, she's illuminated. There's a difference. That first love illuminates the saints even right now. Amen? Does it not? Oh, yes, it does. So this isn't something you'll get ready to do someday. This is something you're being ready for and being made right now. And we thank God for that. So then we see these 12 stars. Well, those 12, remember that number 12 is we represents in the 24? That represents, again, that wonderful, that priestly number. That's the number of Israel and all of those different things. And you notice that they're stars. So we see that there's the full overcomers of the Old Testament right there as well, too. So it's all right there again. It's all, praise God, of what we've already seen. And John is seeing it, again, in a different type and in a different shadow and how wonderful this is. But notice that she is with child. So she has a life. There's a life. There's a company that's in her that's going to be birthed, that's going to be revealed. And this 144,000, let me tell you something, it's going to be revealed. And it's not going to be widely accepted at all. Matter of fact, it's going to be hated like a hate that's never happened before. You think about what God's already shown us. Let me tell you something. People have hated people on this planet, and they still do today. And there's a lot of hate going on, and it's a sad thing, but it's because of the devil. Know that. It's just when people want to just go into the things of what the devil has, that's what it's going to be. But there's never been a group, there's never been a people hated like the Jew. There's never been a people that have been so many times over to try to be exterminated off the face of the earth as the Jew. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, there are ones sitting in this place right now that lived at the time of one of the leaders that was a very incredible type of what will be. They were living during this time. Hitler was reigning in his power, and he was out to exterminate the Jew. And at that time, between he and Stalin, they say somewhere between 12 to 15 million Jews were completely eradicated from the face of the earth. And that will not compare to what is to be. And that is the truth. People think that's so long ago. That's not so long ago. And let me tell you something. Man, and that vomit, it just gets to be a bigger pile of vomit. You think, I it's a sad thing, but I rejoice. Think about even Romans 1. I say this often because, brothers and sisters, it's an indicator of where we are and where we are as far as where the Lord is ready to come. And this has happened all the time. But you read Romans 1. Do you know every part of Romans 1 has now been made legal in the United States of America? And not only is it legal, it's encouraged. Who would have thought that? Amen? Maybe we don't even have to go back 50 years ago, 25, 30 years ago. But this, again, is the prince and the power of this air. This is that spiritual wickedness in high places. This isn't about a flesh and blood. This is about the enemy himself and directing those that want to be enslaved to him. And that's exactly what it is. But this is the perspective. We can either see this from the earth and be terrified and horrified, or we can see it where we're seated together with Christ right now is in the heavens. Amen? And praise the Lord. We're thankful and just grateful to God that he has given us this faith. But see, this is that precious, wonderful church that will be. Remember, we talked about the three companies of believers. The bride would be raptured, the innumerable multitude, and the 144,000. So here is this last group that will come to know the Lord, and they will be the last group that will be part of the church that will be caught up into heaven. Let's go on over to Isaiah 66. We have a little bit of time, and we'll read about how Isaiah, he spoke of these things and this encouragement. And this will remind you, too, of some verses that you have probably quoted before. And you said, my goodness, that's in there, too? Yep, it's right here. Okay. So chapter 66, and let's start from verse 5. It says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, here we go, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. There we go. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? Now, see, a lot of times we get caught up, and I remember, too, even thinking early on in my Christianity and in my walk and in the things of the Word of God, we think about that time in the 1940s there when Israel became a nation. Now, that is a type and an encouragement to us, but this is truly when this nation is going to be born in a day. This is what the Lord is speaking of here. And he gives us all of this encouragement to us. And this is what is so amazing. So the nation be born at once. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. And praise God, what a rejoicing it's going to be for us. Hallelujah. That the Lord and his encouragement to us and what he's going to do in these end times. So this is speaking again of that man child that will be born in the end time. Now, the reason, let's go back and talk a little bit about the reason that the 144,000 are mentioned first in Revelation 7. We haven't got to the second half of it, but most of you I know have studied it. But the second half of Revelation obviously speaks of the innumerable multitude. The innumerable multitude will be caught up into heaven before the 144,000 are caught up into there. But I believe you understand and you see why that the 144,000 is mentioned first. It's because these Jews will be born they will be shown as part of the church at the beginning of the tribulation. All of this is in its perfect order. The reason we know, again, that this 144,000 are going to be prepared and beginning to be prepared at the beginning of the tribulation, if we go back to Revelation 12:5, here is how we know this. And I think this will put a lot of the pieces together that we've spoken of already tonight. So this again is the 144,000. This is this man-child. So in chapter 12, verse 5, it says, and she brought forth. Now again, this is the church. The church, that wonderful type that we saw, that woman, which was a great wonder in heaven. She's going to bring forth, the church is going to bring forth this 144,000, this man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So again, we see how sweet this is, that we have this precious type. Now let's keep reading on, and we'll see what happens. And there was, in verse 7, a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his and fought against the dragon and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. So the reason we know that this begins to take place at the beginning of the tribulation, this 144,000, is because, again, they are born of the woman, and that is revealed right now. And right after that is the battle in heaven with Satan, the angel, and the angel Michael, and Satan is thrown to earth. And the battle begins, praise God, at the start of that tribulation. So, a short time later then in the week, and this is toward the middle of the week, Satan then is thrown to the earth. So, this battle begins at the beginning of the week. Satan is thrown to the earth in the middle of the week. It goes on to say in verse 13 of chapter 12, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So, this is quite a picture here, is it not? It's amazing. So he makes war with this child, but God protects. And right before the middle of the week, the 144,000 are going to be caught up from the earth to the Lord. And so wonderful, we see that in the 14th chapter of Revelation. And going back, talking about that little diagram, and if you don't have it, I encourage you to get it. And I'm sure you can't see what I'm holding up here, but that's okay. I'm still going to hold it up. This was, again, encouraged in the hearts of Chrisette and Joe. And they put this together, and I know they'd be glad to give you one of these. But this is kind of a little bit of a brief summary, but very well done. I know the Spirit encouraged them in this, of the ranks in the resurrection, the different churches, the ages, and then also the four watches that we spoke of in Mark 13. Remember the watches. There is the evening, midnight, the cock crowing, and then the day. Now, a lot of folks try to say, well, see, that first watch is when the bride goes. No, the bride's going to go before the first watch. The bride's going to go before evening even hits. And what we have here is, we're in even into the second watch. See, the first watch, when that evening comes down, that's when the innumerable multitude's going to go. But see, we're getting to the second watch, which is midnight. And see, those 144,000 are going to be taken up into heaven right at midnight, right when it starts into the depth of the darkness of what the earth will face at that time. And then, where the cock crows, that means you went all the way in through that night. That's that third watch. And that would be obviously those saints under the altar. Remember we read of last week? Those will be the ones that actually go into that mighty the last 3.5 years, that great tribulation. And they will again be killed. Some of them will go all the way through. There will be a lot of obviously pain and suffering. The fourth watch, the morning, that's the millennial time. That's why it's morning time. And it'll go through And there'll be that raining upon the earth. And we're so thankful to God for his faithfulness. But this is right when the world is going to go into this dark time. This is this 144,000 when they'll be taken up. Now, some more information about this is we know that this is the 144,000. And we know that this is part of the church because the 144,000 are also seen in Revelation 21. So let's go on over to Revelation 21 and let's get another type and a vision of this 144,000 and why we know that the 144,000, again, this man-child, are part of the church. Well, this is in chapter 21. This is the New Jerusalem. This is the bride adorned, descending from heaven, having the glory of God. And remember, her garments were the righteousness of saints. Do you remember that? How exciting and encouragement that is within the Word of God? Well, let's just go ahead. I know we've read a lot of Revelation tonight, and the fire hydrant is still going. And don't worry, we're going to work. We're going to leave this to the Spirit. But in verse 17, it says, "And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel." And then it goes on to talk about the jewels of the walls and the different stones and things of that nature. But the reason that those walls are 144 cubits is because those walls, in type, praise God, are the 144,000. They're part of that wonderful city. Obviously, they're the walls of the city. They're not the focus of the city, which is the bride, but they adorn her. Isn't that sweet? See, that's the righteousness of saints. And how sweet this is that 144,000, praise God, are seen here as the walls of that wonderful city. Now, the 144,000 is not the bride. The 144,000 is not the innumerable multitude. So we can go through some of the reasons why. First of all, we've already said they arrive in heaven as the final company. The first company is the four living ones. We see them arriving in heaven first. Chapter 7, we'll see the innumerable multitude in heaven. And then in chapter 14, we will eventually see this 144,000 as they arrive in heaven. You'll notice that the 144,000 arrives from the earth and right into heaven. The bride meets the Lord in the air. Amen? Amen. So we know this. And it says about this 144,000, they'll sing their own song. It says that they stand before the four beasts and the elders. So they're standing before the four beasts and the elders. So we see that there is a type that they're standing before the throne again. And you'll notice that the 144,000 is called a man-child. So this is a very developed child. But it's not an adult. It's not one that is fully matured. It's still a child. So you get all of these sweet types. And again, it's the walls of the city. It's not the glory, the focus of it, which is the bride. So as we wrap this up tonight with the 144,000, note what a precious encouragement this is to our hearts. This is the third rank of the believers. The first rank is the bride. The second rank would be the innumerable multitude. This is the third rank of believers, the 144,000. We've read about them when we studied the seven churches. This is the church of Laodicea. They are also known as the five wise virgins. So the five wise virgins are of chapter Matthew 25. And let's recall about that. Remember in Matthew 25, there were the five wise and the five foolish virgins, right? And they had come out because there was a call. And the call was what? To come to the marriage. Amen? They were coming as guests. They weren't coming as a bride, but they were coming as guests to the wedding. And if you remember, the difference between the five wise virgins and the five foolish was one thing. They both had lamps. They both heeded a call to come. But only the five wise virgins could go on into the wedding. Because why? Because they had oil in their lamps. They did. The five foolish virgins did not have oil in their lamps, right? Now remember last week when we studied about those saints that were under the altar. That fourth rank, they will not be part of the church. They're going to be the earthly reigning ones that will go through the millennial time, reigning upon the earth, those are the ones that represented the five foolish virgins, because they didn't have that oil. They didn't have that encouragement. Now, think about what we've read about the 144,000 or this man-child. In chapter 12, verse 4, the reason we know that they are the wise virgins, let's read just a couple things we've already read as we recap and close this out. In Revelation 12, 4, it said, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, as to devour her child as soon as it was born." And we see there that this is this virgin that it speaks of. Well, I think I got that verse wrong, didn't I? I think I did. Did we see that virgin in that verse? Nope. Well, it's in there. And as somebody goes through, you might have a little, I might have written down a verse wrong. But they're called virgins in chapter 12, this 144,000. Now again, we know that they're the wise ones because they're sealed with the Holy Ghost. We've spoken of that. This speaks of, again, the five wise virgins in Matthew 25 that had oil in their lamps. And again, they go into that wedding as the guests, whereas those that were under the altar, the five foolish virgins, the church of Thyatira, they missed the wedding. They're the lowest rank, the fourth rank, and they will be those that go all the way through the tribulation until the cock crows in the morning. Matter of fact, it says about that fourth rank again, they came out fire mingled with glass. That's Revelation 15:2. Revelation chapter 6 said they were slain and killed because they refused the mark of the beast. But once again, because they had no oil, they missed the wedding. And they only become the earth reigning ones through the millennium, not part of the three companies that will be part of the city, New Jerusalem, that will be descending from heaven. Now, finally, I would like to visit on the last part of our eight verses that we started with today. And this will be something that I think, obviously, I shouldn't say I think, I know is important because God put it in here. But finally, you'll notice we mentioned those 12 tribes. And there were 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes. Those that are somewhat aware of this and would study the word here, you'll notice that there is a tribe that's missing here from one of the original tribe, and that's the tribe of Dan. And as well, there was even another rearrangement of it. There was the tribe of Ephraim was mentioned at one time as well, too. But Ephraim and Dan, and especially the tribe of Dan, it says that they went after idols. And you'll read that in Leviticus. You'll read about it in 1 Kings. You'll also read of that in Judges chapter 18 as well, too. And when they turned after the idols and blasphemed God, they were replaced. As a matter of fact, it said of Ephraim, it said he went after idols, and that was in Hosea chapter 4. And the tribe that was replaced is this one, as we see, Manasseh. And that was one of the sons of Joseph. And we thank God. There's a lot of type in that as well, too, of the double portion to Joseph. It's very sweet. There's a lot of layers in this. But I want to just encourage us as we depart tonight. This is something that is very sobering to us. Esau lost his birthright. Vashti lost the crown. And even to us, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And we thank God for this, because you think of the idols, in a sense, that are typed in each one of these cases, that these people have lost what was given to them. Esau lost it because of his belly. The idol was his belly. Vashti, I think, lost that crown because her idol was herself. She didn't want to make a move. And then Ephesus, who had the crown, we know what that is. She left her first love. Complacency. Caught up a little bit, distracted in those types of things. I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, in the encouragement here, in all three of these cases, the Lord has given that to us. He's given us Paul's gospel. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. He's given that to you. And as you've laid hold of it by the grace of God, praise God. I believe that, Lord. I believed in salvation by the blood. I believed in the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in tongues. I believe, praise God, that there was a dispensation that was given to Paul for the end of the ages that Jesus Christ would have a bride. And I believe that, and I take that as well. But I thank the Lord in that precious scripture, brothers and sisters. My salvation can never be taken away from me. The infilling of the Holy Ghost can never be taken away from me. But the one thing that I can let go of is this bride, this double portion, this crown, this exalted rank of righteousness that the Lord has offered to me. And I thank God. I know that, again, these last couple chapters that we've had here of the saints under the altar and this 144,000, it's a lot of stuff. And I'm trying to go through it in some detail. You might be sitting there going, oh my goodness, how much detail? But I'll tell you what, there's a lot more detail. And I'm hoping that, again, the encouragement of what the Lord is giving us in so many different ways. You know, first of all, tonight, the privilege, as it starts there, to be the ones with the Lord, bringing forth with Him the judgment, the revelation of all of these ages and things to come. How wonderful. Amen. And then the excitement of all of the prophecy of that man-child, of those 144,000. And praise be to God. I know I'm speaking for every one of us here. We love the Jew because the bride loves the Jew. She prays for Israel. She's encouraged by that. I'm so thankful to God. That is God's earthly people. And thanks be to God, as the prophets wrote about how that unfaithful wife would be faithful again. It's going to be. Nothing's going to stop that. But there's going to be some horrific things that happen. And the devil's going to try to do everything. See, the devil doesn't change. He tried to do everything to keep Jesus off the cross. But when that happened, it finished it. It was over. But he's still so stupid, he's just going to be doing these things. But again, this is all according to the plan of God. Amen? Now take that for your own individual life. If the Lord is this mighty that he can do this in this age and all of these things to come, can he not do it for your life? Can he not encourage your life by the grace of God and keep you and have this absolute perfection? He said, I'll perform the good work. I'll perform that good work. I'm faithful. I'm going to do that. Believe him for it. Amen. Do you believe that any of this stuff isn't going to come to pass? Well, then why wouldn't you believe what he has for your own individual life? You see how that is? By the grace of God, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. What place are you going to take, Christian? And that's the truth. What company do you want to be in? I'll tell you what, I'm reading some things. I'm in love with you. I'm passionately, by your grace, I'm passionately in love with you. All this other stuff is wonderful, but as you continue to show it to me, my goodness, thank you for the manifold blessings of God to keep me from this stuff. And then the excitement to be pouring forth these things. And to understand why. See, these are the reasons why. This is the reasons why for ages that mankind has so been against the Jew. This is it. This all happened way back. This was set in, it really, yeah, in stone, in the law, and all of that. But it's the word of God. He's written it. It's so. Aren't you thankful, you know? I mean, it's just so remarkable. And that's what I say. We've spoken about a lot of things tonight. I get it. The Spirit will continue to reveal it to you. Continue to study it out. Take these things, write these verses down, go back in and see that these things are so. It will thrill you. It really will. When you start to see the arrangement of the ages and these things that God has given us to enter into, to be part of, not just to see afar off, but to go on in there and say, praise the Lord. You talk about all the double portions we're going to get in heaven as we lay hold of this. Oh, Lord, you told me that and that and that and that and that. Praise be to God. What a wonderful time we'll have. Amen. 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 Let's stand and be dismissed.